If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28, 1 through 7, a familiar resurrection account. Matthew 28, 1 through 7, and following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing the Gloria Patri. So hear now the reading of God's holy word. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." I want to direct your attention this morning to particularly the message of the angels. The message being the first part of the message, particularly, don't be afraid. The topic of fear, especially in view of the COVID-19 crisis, is certainly something that is on our minds, and it was on the minds of these women and these soldiers that particular morning. And I want to have us get into it. Look at the setting. The messengers here are the angels. Their name actually means messenger. They're messengers, and they're a wonderful part of God's creation. And they're mighty servants of our Lord. They had a very significant role throughout redemptive history, particularly in Jesus' life. They were there to announce to Zechariah, to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, his birth. They were there when he was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. They were there in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was in agony. They are there on resurrection morning. And they'll be there when he ascends to the right hand of God. And the setting here of their message is very striking. The women are coming to the tomb to further anoint Jesus' body. And suddenly there's this earthquake. Now, Matthew kind of gives us the impression that maybe they saw this, maybe they didn't. The other accounts sort of have the idea that they came and found all this having taken place, but there was this earthquake. When the glorious presence of God comes, there are often earth-shaking things that happen, and the angel rolls back the stone. Whereas it took several men, maybe several really large, strong men at least, to roll it into place, the angel was able to roll it out himself. In fact, as a preacher friend of mine said, he just with a flick of his finger rolled that stone out of the way, because he had the mighty power of God with him in that sense. And he was brilliant in his appearance, his garments white as snow, the glorious appearance of a servant of God there before the soldiers and before the men. It was an amazing sight, and a glorious sight that appeared to them. And the response of the soldiers is that they were terrified, the text tells us, and they shook, and they became like dead men. I mean, they just completely were frozen in place before this glorious angel. And the women, too, were afraid. Hence the message, don't be afraid. And I want us to think about that fear. John Calvin has a very interesting few comments about this particular event and the contrast between the soldiers and the women. He makes the point, he says, "We must attend to the distinction between the two kinds of terror between which Matthew draws a comparison. The soldiers, who were accustomed to tumults, were terrified and were so completely overwhelmed by alarm that they fell down like men who were almost dead. But no power was exerted to raise them from that condition. A similar terror seized the women, but their minds, which had nearly given way, were restored by the consolation which immediately followed, so as to begin at least to entertain some better hope. And certainly it is proper that the majesty of God should strike both terror and fear indiscriminately into the godly as well as the reprobate, that all flesh may be silent before His face. But when the Lord has humbled and subdued His elect, He immediately mitigates their dread, that they might not sink under its oppressive influence. And not only so, but by the sweetness of His grace, He heals the wound which He inflicted. So the soldiers, as well as the women, were afraid, but no medicine was applied to soothe their terror. For to the women only did the angel say, "Fear not." And He held out to them a ground of joy and assurance in the resurrection of Jesus. And so I want us to think about the concept of fear for a few minutes and then what we gain from their particular message. Don't be afraid. That is the statement that is made from God's mouth or God's servants more than any other statement in the entire scriptures. There's, depending on how you count out your citations, there's somewhere between 200 and 250 times God says a version of "fear not, do not be afraid." So obviously God is interested in calming our fears. But fear is a normal and a natural part of our life. It's a necessary part of our life. You know, as parents, we want our children to be afraid of that boiling pot on the stove, lest they pull it over and burn themselves. We want our children to be afraid of sticking their hand in the fire. We don't want them to do that. We want them to be afraid of crossing the street without looking. It's not safe. So fear has a very important and necessary role in our lives. But we don't want it to become something that makes us like those soldiers, paralyzed and like dead men. There's a balance to our perspective on this matter. What are some of the things that we fear? Well, there's one permanent and perpetual fear that we must always cultivate and have in our lives, and that's the fear of God. It's the characteristic of an unbeliever that there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs tells us the beginning of wisdom is fear of the fear of the Lord. And so the fear of God is a fear that we need to cultivate and must cultivate and must always have in our lives. But there are other things in our lives that make us afraid. Sin makes us afraid. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they hid themselves from God. When Jesus comes again at the last day and God comes to judge the world, men who do not know Him will call on the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the terrible gaze of Almighty God. Sin makes us afraid. But there's an answer to that fear in forgiveness. That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that fear can be taken away. But there are other things that we fear in our life. We're afraid of the unknown. You lose your job. You worry about what's going to come. Perhaps a health scare comes in your own individual life, and you're worried what's the future going to be. Certainly this COVID-19 pandemic is a fearful experience. Now, there are very strong and opposite opinions on how fearful this circumstance is, but it still involves the unknown. Some people say, well, it's no big deal. Other people say it is a big deal, but we just don't know. And so there's something to fear there. Death, we fear death. Jesus Christ took on humanity, human flesh, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Certainly the non-Christian fears death. Even a Christian can be fearful of death because it's something they haven't experienced yet. It's unnatural. God didn't create us to die. He created us to live. So it's not something God created to happen to us. It's sin that brought that in. But the Christian knows that the power of death has been broken because of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, even though there's maybe some uneasiness even for a Christian facing that, we know what the future is. And so we can be at peace. There are terrifying events. This angel was a terrifying event that terrified these people. Earlier this morning, even though it's very beautiful right now, earlier this morning we had severe thunderstorms and potential tornadoes coming through. That was kind of a scary time. Maybe you got into your closet, the interior of your house. And God has a message for us when we're facing fears of various kinds in our lives. And we could go on with a list that would not end. Of the things that we can be afraid of. And God has a message to encourage us through the message of these angels. He's not necessarily going to take away the fearful circumstances, but He has a message for you, and the message is, don't be afraid. In other words, He has a message to calm our fears. Not eliminate fear, because that would not necessarily be completely helpful for us, but to calm our fears so that they don't control us, but we control them. That's really the point. Fear shouldn't control us. We need to control our fear. And I want to come to the angel's message in particular in a minute, but I'd like you to turn to Genesis 15, verse 1 for just a moment as we sort of get a background and a flow into this a statement by the angels. It's one of those comforting exhortations of God not to be afraid. In Genesis 15:1, Abram is afraid. And what Abram is afraid about is he's afraid of dying without an heir. He's afraid. He was promised descendants. He was promised that His family would bless the world, that all nations in him would be blessed. And he's afraid that none of this is going to take place because he's an old man and he doesn't have any children. So in Genesis 15:1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. God says to Abram, in place of your fear, I'm giving you myself. In place of your fear, I want you to know that I will be with you. God transcends the circumstances that prompt fear in us. He's far greater than this COVID-19 pandemic. He's far greater than anything that we might fear in this world. And yet he comes near to us in our fear to encourage us and comfort us and say that he is with us. And he preeminently came near to us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. The word became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The glories of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And through Jesus Christ, God comes near and he dwells with us. And he reassures us of his promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Or Jesus' promise, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so even though fear will be a part of our lives and there'll be fearful circumstances that are a part of our life and sometimes a necessary part of our life. At the same time, God says that I will be with you in that. And he says that's to calm our fears so that we're not overwhelmed by them. He removes our fear with the message of his hope. And the specific message, coming back to Matthew 28 and verse 6, the specific message of hope that he gives through the angels is the message of hope through the resurrection, where the angels say to the women, "Don't be afraid." I mean, they're in a fearful situation. It's kind of scary being before an angel in the glory of Almighty God. And he says to them, "Don't be afraid." And there are several things I want to highlight for you. And I'm going to go slow. For those of you that do take notes, I'm going to go slowly and give you these things in order. That's all part of their message. But what the angels give to them first is a word of comfort. That's the "don't be afraid." In the midst of a fearful circumstance, in the midst of natural and normal fears, and there are cautions you need to take and prudence you need to exercise and care and so forth, at the same time, he gives you a word of comfort: don't be afraid. In other words, don't be overwhelmed by your fear. Take it seriously, do what you need to do, but don't be overwhelmed. His word of comfort. The second thing the angel says to them is a word of understanding. A word of understanding. He says to them, "You are looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified." So it's not as though when God comes to you and says, "Don't be afraid," he's just saying, "You know, you're getting worked up over nothing." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say you're getting worked up over nothing. You're probably getting worked up over something. It may be a serious something. But what he's saying is, he gives you the word of understanding. "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. I understand the root of your fear. I understand." And that's important because when you're anxious about something and upset about something and someone just simply offhandedly says, "Don't worry about it." Well, that's not helpful. That's not helpful at all. They don't know. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know what you're facing. You need understanding. God understands. The third part of his wording is the word of assurance. You're looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. The reason he's not here, the reason you don't have to be afraid, is this word of assurance. He's not here, he's risen. Just as he said. And he assures, the angel assures from the message of God that God's promises and his faithfulness is true. And he will be with you even through this. Even through this time that's scary. Whatever might be causing fear in your life. And then he gives a word of confirmation. There at the last part of verse 6, he says, "Come and see the place where he lay." It's a word of confirmation of the truth of what he's telling you. Even though you and I are to live by faith and not by sight, here God descends to the needs of these women and says, "Now I want you to come and look and see where his body was laying." And he's not there. The grave clothes are there, but he is not there. The body's not there. He's not there. He's risen, just as he said. And so he gives them the word of confirmation. He's not asking you just to believe, although we can believe God simply because he says so. God condescends and gives us confirmations. He gives us his word, his truth. Here he gives the women, and later the apostles, an empty tomb. He gives them a word of command. Verse 7, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee." Once your fear has been calmed, usually there's a responsibility. Here he gives, the angel gives them a word of command. I have a job for you to do. I want you to go and tell the disciples Jesus has risen from the dead. And he commissions them, just as Jesus will later commission the apostles and the entire church to go into all the world and teach them about the risen Christ. And then the last element of his word to them is a word of encouragement. There you will see him. It's not as though you just have to imagine Jesus is risen from the dead, and even though you see the empty tomb and you can think that he's risen from the dead, but he tells them a word of encouragement and you will see him. I mean, that would have been so amazing to think, I'm going to see him again. I haven't seen him for a long time. I haven't seen him since he was put to death, and would never thought I'd see him alive again, and I'm going to see him. And it would have raised their spirits quite a bit. And so God gives the message of hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our hope, and it's the evidence of our hope and the guarantee of our hope. And we have that word of encouragement, that word of comfort that the angels give. But what's kind of fascinating about this account, and again, for those who would just say, don't worry about it, forget your fear, the interesting response of the women is that in verse 8, following what we have read, it says, afraid and yet filled with joy, then they leave. Now, the critical ones would say, well, he told them not to be afraid. Why are they still afraid? You see, it's because they're complete persons. They have the comfort, and that's why they're filled with joy. But the awe of the moment and the loss of Jesus and all of that still takes time to process. You may have a fear resolved, and you may be full of relief, and yet at the same time, that memory of that fear may not immediately leave. The awe of that may not immediately be relieved of you. The day that we're told the COVID-19 pandemic is over, we're going to be thrilled, but hopefully we won't forget the seriousness of what we went through, so that we will remember. And so we will be filled with joy, but hopefully there'll be just a little bit of the seriousness and that sense of the fear that we take with us to be careful, to be thoughtful of what God was doing through that. So what God says more than anything else in Scripture to you is to fear not. He wants to calm your fears. Your fearful situations and circumstances will not be taken away. That's part of living in this world. But he says don't be afraid, to give you comfort and to give you hope. So there's two responses that I want to give you or encourage in you in response to this. The first is that you embrace God and the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart by faith and receive the comfort and the blessedness of that word of hope. Don't be afraid. And that your fears can be calmed and your worries allayed and your hope in Him. That the blessedness of that would be true in your own life. But there's a second thing I want to charge you with and encourage upon you, and it's stated so well in Isaiah 35, and you can look it up later, but let me just read for you verses 3 and 4. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, fear not, your God will come. And the second thing I challenge you with and encourage you is, as you've received the comfort from the Lord, is be about the business of encouraging others. Because of the disagreement, sometimes we are debating one another instead of comforting one another. Don't look down on those who look at the situation differently than you. Don't try to browbeat them out of where they're at. But strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Be an encourager of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Help others. If God has strengthened you, praise be to God. Now you, out of your strength, seek to encourage and strengthen others. Be a servant of the Lord to help them through their discouragements, through their fears, not by dismissing them, but by just continuing to encourage them and encouraging them with a reminder of God's presence with them to strengthen them. May you and I both be filled with the blessing of the presence of God and the comfort that He gives us, and may you and I be the instruments of His peace to one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the grace that you have given us. Thank you for the word of comfort and hope through these angels, not to be afraid, to have your presence calm our fears in the midst of fearful circumstances, that we know that your presence is there with us, that you understand our need, that you understand what we're facing, and you come near to us, and you give us comfort and encouragement and hope, and you give us a charge to be encouragers of others. May you, O Father, bless us with your grace and use us to be a blessing to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.